Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're always encouraging folks to, if you're out in the car and you find us or you've listened for years, set a spot on your dial for us. So easy to do on the AM side. We're always a click away when the guys on the FM are boring you or in bad commercials or the HVAC guys talking to you. The Gold Rush Sevens doublers I have. I will have the Raven scratch offs, and we're in Oyster Land. We're in Crab Cake Tour land. We're going to be at Cooper's doing both in Fells Point on Friday. Last time we were at Cooper's, this guy joined me. He is the newest sponsor of the oldest service we have, which is the WNSD Tech Service. It is coming back to life. If you want to join it, I can say this out loud. Bill, you need some directions. Here you go. You text 410-821-9678. That's 410-821-WNST, which is our old house phone number. You text that number and you just text join or WNST and you're back on the tech service and we're about to kick this thing back into gear. So Bill, you've inspired me. We have not sent the tech service out. I have figured out how to put the streams back together. We can get people to sign up again and we are going to have the new and improved and more robust WNST tech service. What do you make of that, Bill Cole?
I think that I will be a more informed Baltimore sports fan thanks to the tech service.
So a 105.7.
There were always things that made me, you know, you don't ever want to be the guy who just has no idea what's going on. And sometimes I find myself being the guy that has no idea what's going on.
Did you hear blank? Did you hear? Right. Okay. Right.
I mean, when they're talking about names of people that I've never even heard of, that's when I really feel out of touch. And I find myself in that place more often these days than maybe I used to.
I had an embarrassing sports moment on Saturday. And I admitted this to Leonard Raskin earlier this week. I didn't know the Terps were playing. B, I didn't know they were playing at home. C, I didn't know they were playing Michigan State because I would have texted my three friends who are Michigan State Spartans fans and given them a hard time. And then the fans walked out. They blew the game. Nobody's there. Everybody leaves. And I think to myself, like, you're a big sports guy. I'm a big sports guy. Where? I talk about oysters being down the menu on things I order, which is one of the reasons I'm doing them now. It's like, I just never get around to ordering the oysters. I almost had a friggin' deviled egg the other day. I got to tell you about that. So remind me about that. But, you know, the Maryland Terps on the sports menu of, am I going to go see Pearl Jam, Bruce Springsteen, Styx, Lake Street Dive, the Ravens this weekend? Am I saving up for Oriole playoff tickets? The Caps start in 3 weeks. Whatever you spend money on, Merriweather, this, that, concerts, ball games, kids, college, whatever, travel, wherever you're doing, going to the beach. Where are the Maryland things that miss me and things that are just gone that they don't exist anymore? Maryland football's right up there in this community for people I know. It doesn't jump on my timeline.
It's interesting because their football footprint as part of the Big Ten is probably broader than it used to be in the ACC. I accidentally stumbled onto the game, happened to be sitting in front of the television for a few minutes, got roped in. I'm like, okay, I'll give this a shot.
Did you know the game was happening or did you just come across? Did you know they were playing Michigan State? Did you know?
I still don't know what time
the game was played. I just know the end of it.
Right.
I saw it on Twitter.
I knew it was a Saturday and I thought, oh, I wonder when Maryland plays. So I went looking for it. But my relationship with Maryland football doesn't ever seem to change, which really means I will not go seek it out. Like, every time I turn it on, I'm generally disappointed and annoyed. And like, that just seems to be the case. And I got excited because I'm watching and it's like, okay, look at this. Like, I don't even care that the guys are trying to tell me that Michigan State's the underdog and that, you know, Maryland should, I mean, it's like in my world, Maryland will always be an underdog to Michigan State in football. Give me a break. And basketball, quite frankly. But, you know, so the fact that they were winning and it looked kind of fun and I'm starting to learn some names and it's like, and then it just, the inevitable happens. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And, you know, Mike Locksley, I don't know. You immediately start
like
doing
Mike. I mean, I've known Mike forever. I like Mike.
I can't understand. You know, I think
but
they
I don't
should
like
win.
Mike enough to get in my car and go down there and spend 5 hours and chase my press pass over at the hotel where they want to leave it and park me in Greenbelt and like and then not come on the show. And like it just I got fed up with the Terps years ago. You know when I got fed up? When Luke got fed up. And Luke has a much, much higher tolerance
Right.
for what he's enduring today and every day in regard to dealing with these people. And part of my Declaration of Independence, and I know you read my letter to Eric Cuss. I had a friend of mine ask me, are you losing your mind? And I'm like, no, I'm speaking my mind. And like,
no, we lost
and
that
in
years
case
ago.
I die tomorrow, I need
Right.
Chad Steele and the Whistler and you and everyone I know to know exactly what's happened. That thing with Eric DaCosta, I wrote that because people need to understand where I'm coming from and what I have dealt with. And with the Maryland Terps, I have not been bitchy or moany because I'm a whiner. That's all I do is sit here and whine while I talk to all sorts of people about how to fix the place. But I'm a whiner about media credentials when they make you say, why am I doing this? Why, how am I in this relationship where I'm in front of this human who's treating me like stool and still getting in my car and going down there like Gary Williams was ever nice to me? Or like, you know, it's like, it's been 50 years at this point with the Terps and it's still 45 miles away and they don't embrace this city. They really don't. I saw Loxley on the pregame show. I mean, I'm the one guy watching the Ravens pregame a month ago where he's there. And it was the strangest thing because he's standing in front of these kids and they got all their Terps Under Armour $200 shirts on and like all that stuff. And he's like, we're paying a straight cash money these days. And I'm like, that's just weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
He's like, we're paying a straight cash money. And I'm like, man, we've moved on. What the industry is, what the business is, what the expectation is. But the one thing, and it was never a price point. Going to Maryland games was always like affordable, whatever. It's just whether you wanted to go. And the boys and girls that sleep down there on campus didn't want to get out of bed and walk four blocks to go to the games most of the time. I don't know what to say about them other than I used the Cat Williams thing, and I should have used this on Eric DaCosta. I'll use it on the rest of them. You know, like, you've gotten what you've earned. Like, you know, there's a whole Redskin fan base down there, Commanders. There's a whole Raven thing up here. You play on Saturdays. This is a lifetime thing of you not doing a good enough job of us getting interested in it. That's really what the story is with the Terps.
Yeah, I still don't fully connect the dots when I'm watching of the NIL money and the transfer portal. And like, you know, it's somewhere along the way during the game, an announcer will say, well, remember, da-da-da-da-da, and they have seven new players on their offensive side of the ball who all
from
transferred
the
in. Right, yeah. So that's when I get, like, that perspective reset, because I really just look at it the way we always looked at it. So, you know, I don't know. Terps football, I can remember going as a kid once or twice, but certainly not a lot. Basketball, I would love to go to, but, man, like, an 8:30 tip on a Tuesday, like, that just does not work in my universe to go
well,
all the way
especially
down
when
there
you
and
live
come
north
back.
of
I mean, it's
White
just,
Marsh, right?
yeah,
And I'm
it's
saying, like,
tough. It's
it's hard.
tough.
I lived
Yeah.
downtown for 20 years, and it wasn't College Park wasn't far to me, you know, living
Right.
downtown. In Towson, feels a little further. I went to
Right.
Annapolis the other night, feels a little further. You know, that said, Bel Air feels a little closer. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
Sure.
it depends on where your geography is, but, you know, they've always had a problem. And I talked about this, and I know you knew Steve Hennessy real well. Steve was my partner, really helped me build this place 30 years ago. And, you know, he had the baseline seats in the old Cole Field house. He was the paint the face red guy in there and screaming at the Duke guys. And, you know, you suck, and like all of that. And then they're like, oh, for that privilege, it's $14,000 a year to your whatever. It was outrageous. It was way beyond whatever I paid. I paid $500 for my PSL back in the day. So I can bitch
Right.
about it and call it a poor sucker's license. But they weren't trying to angle me for 10 grand a year like
right.
a bad timeshare. You know what I mean? And once they went to the new place, I said to my wife when all the hubbub happened Saturday after the game, because my wife and I were in Frederick. And then we literally went, we called an audible and saw Springsteen Saturday night because we weren't going to see him this week. So we went down to DC, and then she's driving. I'm in the car and I'm watching all the Terp stuff. I'm like, we're driving right through College Park when the game was in the balance and like whatever. And I said to her, nobody goes because like, they don't even know what's happening. I didn't even know it was happening. And I'm a sports guy and they think so little of me. They don't even tell me. Or offer me a chance to come down and talk about it. And, or, hey, do you want the coach on this week? Or do you want our well-paid quarterback who's making 50 grand a year this year from Lido's Pizza? I don't know. But they've done a poor job. They really have done a poor job to people who love football. This region loves football.
Maybe, Ness. I don't know if they've done a poor job, right? Like, what was their objective and what are they trying to do? I mean, they certainly have, they walked into the Big Ten as the doormat. And, I don't think they're that anymore. I don't know that they're necessarily challenging for like winning the Big Ten anytime soon, but I'm not really sure what the objective is, right? Like,
uniform every week and look really good because we have a great state flag.
You want to be, right? You want to be one of the colleges that is like the, big time football. That's like a category, right? Like, do you want to go when you're 17 and you're evaluating colleges, that is a category, big time sports. And they have that. They never really needed it, I don't think, because of the geographical location being a state school. They've done a great job on the engineering and tech side, and they produce smart people, and those smart people go on and do really great stuff. And they're a DC
suburb. Oh, as an educational
suburb.
Institution,
yeah,
has nothing
I mean,
to do with that.
Well, sure. I think it does, right? Because it all weaves together to this growing cost of going to school, the student debt crisis, college.
How many people
as an
do we know?
Experience.
I got three friends that sent their kids to Alabama. I got five friends that have sent their kids to South Carolina. And these are all 18, 22-year-old people, all young people. The thought of going to Maryland, I don't know anybody that sends their kids to Maryland. You know what I mean?
Oh.
And it's weird because we all like wear the flag and all that, but they're not the ones showing up as, I mean, Leonard Raskin and I got into it this week. He sent his kid to Ohio State, his whole closet to Ohio State. I'm like, you had a closet full of Maryland. How many games you go to in your life? Like you, handful. I saw Major Harris play back in 88. And you know what I mean? Like I went down there once for a Penn State game. We got our ass kicked or whatever. But like, it's not a thing. And it's a thing for all of us to have experienced all these Ravens games, flying to London, flying to here, going there, whatever. Like we like football and we love Maryland and we love the flag. Like it feels like if I'm a marketing guy from, New York and I come down and say my Big Ten footprint of two major metropolitan. Yeah. And what did that get you on Saturday?
I think it's the same conversation that we had a couple weeks ago or whenever it was. I think that really the non-student associated fan is completely irrelevant to the equation. They have absolutely no bearing on success or failure of the program, right? Like the TV deal is phenomenal. We've got our own network, right? Like the students, the student body, that's the recruiting piece, right? You got to fill the roles of students. And I think they consistently get kids local. I hear you on the whole Alabama, Auburn, South Carolina. Like they have done well pulling us mid-Atlanticers down into the South because we want it to be a little bit, our kids want it to be a little bit warmer all the time. So they've done a good job, but there are always kids. Well, when my son was coming out of Calvert Hall, there's a bunch of kids that went to Maryland. I mean, I think they do still do really well here. But I don't think selling tickets to games, I don't think they care to, I mean, sponsors, students.
I think they need the revenue, dude.
Television.
It's certainly part of this. They need, look, I had a friend that sold for Maryland recently that doesn't anymore. Part of it is the optics of nobody being there. And if nobody's there, all that sponsor money, they come back and say, well, I know this from a real life perspective. You don't have an audience. You don't have much. So, the empty part of it. Google the Valentine's night game against Indiana. Was it Illinois? It was Illinois. Like 1,000 people at a basketball game in the
Right.
middle of a Big Ten. And like it didn't quite look like the White Sox 2 weeks ago, but it looked like nobody. And then the football thing this weekend, and the coach is pissed, and everybody's like, I just think we're talking about it because we never talk about Maryland football, but this isn't a bad week to talk about why people don't go, because we're the exact people that they'd like to recruit. We like football. You know, we like
Yeah.
Maryland. We like the flag. We like big time sports. We like the crowd. We like all of that. Why don't we do it? Why don't it's not expensive. We've, you know, which is a barrier for a lot of things.
Feels a little bit like when baseball was going through like the steroid stuff. Like, you knew that that was a transition period, right? You knew there was stuff going on. There was lots of stories. You saw Barry Bonds' head get three times as big as it was before. Like, you knew there was stuff going on, and you knew that eventually they were going to sort of get to the, they were going to get to what they decided was the bottom of it. And then there was going to be this new thing afterwards. I feel like that's kind of where we are with college athletics because of the NIL money and the transfer portal and trying to deal with COVID. I mean, the idea that some kids have been playing for like 6 or 7 years with like red shirts and COVID years and all that crazy stuff. I mean, all three of those sort of things all happened in the same period of time. That has to generally create chaos. And it's going to take some time for that stuff to sort out. Right now, I don't think there is any hours, significant hours being put into trying to get you and I to go to those football games or those basketball games. To your point,
well, the other
I don't
part
even know
is
when
recognition of the players and saying, do I even know who's on the roster when the portal
right.
is pulling
right.
people? So that part of, oh, we got a freshman, he's going to be here 4 years. And they had that with Tonga Valoa's, you know, brother. I mean, so they had a little thing they could wrap themselves around in College Park. But I'm just talking about in a general sense. If you love Alabama, Ole State, you we go down there in our pickups, we're gonna tailgate. And if that's who you are and those programs are built, but to your point, Maryland's trying to become a part of that. We're in the club of big time sports where it's a very exclusive club to have that kind of money. You know, to have Nebraska money and have Penn State money and have Ohio State money and have Michigan money. And then the filthiness of it. I mean, you see Jim Harbaugh winning this week while he's torched the program in Michigan. That's all happening. You know, that's all baked into the dirtiness of 50 years of college sports is baked into how I feel about it as it being portrayed as an educational institution where you start talking about, well, we have all these degrees and so yeah, but that's not about the student athletes. That's the part where you're going to get a job. That's different than playing on the sports team and getting NIL money. And your daughter
right.
maybe getting a free ride for field hockey or something like that. That's different than the area we're going into now. You as a father of young ladies, Title IX, all of that, I would hear all of that along the lines of equity and education and all that. But whatever was going on with Alabama football and whatever's been going on with UCLA basketball and forever has had nothing to do with education. As long as I've been in radio, it's never had anything to do with education.
I agree with you. And I guess my sort of perspective at this point is, yeah, there was, I don't know. I hate to say 50 years because that makes me feel like really old, but like it's been growing, right? The rule breaking and the skirting the limits and all that has continuously grown to the point where the dam broke. We created a transfer portal. We created NIL money. And now it is completely different. Like we were joking the other day about, you know, soccer's relegated concept and, you know, with the old fun conversation of, well, the Washington Commanders would have been dropped down and, you know, Alabama would be in the NFL and, you know, and these teams would go up and down. And how interesting and crazy would that be if that's really what it was? Because there are a number of players, this is speculation on my part, on football teams in college who are making more money than they will as a, you know, just missed pro football player, right? So didn't get drafted, didn't get a free agent contract, go to Canada or in arena football or whatever, you know, whatever they're doing to try and continue that dream. But when they were on campus, you know, they were making the equivalency of significantly more money than they can.
Well, and then, but like, you know, Reggie Bush was making money when he was running the ball at USC. You know what I mean? So like all of this, there was always money for the right player to be delivered by the AAU handler. I mean, we all, this is as obvious as,
but
you know,
the
what
exception.
The Ravens and the Orioles have done to me in regard to press passes. You know, it's just sort of like, it's just sitting there, you know, you know where the truth is, but you just want to look the other way in regard to Steve Francis playing 3 minutes at Maryland 25 right. years ago. You know, how these guys wound up at places. And Gary was pretty, you know, at least out in front and saying that he was against all of that, wanting to get out. And Gary Williams, plug Accelerant here if you wish, is a big sponsor. We have an Accelerant lunch, but there's a Comex event that Gary Williams spoke at about a year and a half ago, and I remember going, and it's a breakfast event. Yeah, everybody's there to hear or worship Gary and whatnot, and there's going to be guardrails, Gary says. I'm like, were you dreaming? Is that just a talking point? Like, who's the guardrails? Congress, the government, the Supreme Court?
Right.
The Supreme
right.
Court's one put this in business. Like, right. You know, what's the Attorney General of Maryland? Nobody's coming in. It's free agency, baby. It's capitalism, right. baby. You right. know, there's not going to be any guardrails for this. And I think that that's the hardest part is some of the old school people thought, well, this is crazy that Mike Locksley be sitting on. No, it's not. This is the new business. Straight cash, homie. You know,
well, it's out.
Straight
it's
cash.
Out in, right. It's out of the shadows and in front of everyone. And then on top of it, to your point, it is, we have a tendency to like do stuff and then sort of figure out how to regulate it later. You know, like, oh, I guess we probably should have put some rules in when we did this. You know, there are, and I don't even know if this is really a thing, but there are definitely kids out there who are in high school who are making decisions that are probably putting their eligibility in jeopardy because no one told them what the rules are. You know, and then there are D2 and D3 schools who all they got to do is like put a person in place whose job is to connect the tire shop in town to the football player that everybody goes and watches on Friday night because there's nothing else in that town, right? And the pizza shop that everybody goes to from campus, well, there's another guy with a pizza shop who wishes he was that pizza guy. So let's go get the other pizza guy and see if he'll give them, you know, $1,000 a season or something for the best player on the D3 football team. Like,
it's funny
it's
you mentioned
everywhere.
Pizza, because 30
everywhere.
Years ago, I had Fang Mitchell's whole team in my studio. Speaking of Hennessy, he put that together. It's back in 1998 when the big upset happened with Coppin. And they all came in the studio. And we had a pizza sponsor. I think it was Mama Lardo's at the time. And they sent the pizza in. It always gave me heartburn. They sent the pizza in. And we ate pizza. And the pictures have us eating pizza. And when it came time to do the newsletter, Fang called me, said, "Hey, man, you can't be putting the pictures in there. But pizza, man, you know, you gotta get the pizza out." And I'm thinking, I gave your kids pizza. That's a violation.
Right.
That's against the rules, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Giving a kid a slice of pizza in 1998 was against the rules.
Right. It's crazy. And that when I sit and watch games, I don't think about it that way until something, you know, reminds me that the whole
that everybody
thing is
in
different.
The arena,
yeah,
everybody
the whole thing
on
is
TV,
different. Yeah,
everybody's
yeah, yeah.
making yep. money except yeah. the slaves that are dribbling or playing. Like, literally, it's March Madness all day long. All of these kids, all these cheerleaders, all of this, television, ads, brackets, fantasy brackets, you know, back
right,
in the day.
Right.
And, and popcorn vendors making money. Everybody's making money. They're selling tickets. They're selling beer. They're upcharging. They're gouging for all of it. Hotel rooms, all of that. And everybody's making money except Steve Francis when he's dribbling in Knoxville 30 years ago with me and Hennessy, spending all his money to get down there, drive around. And it went on forever. It was always wrong. It was always wrong. All this bowl money, bowl. We're going out. We got the Rose this and the Rose that and the parade and the sponsor and that float and this and that. And then the kids go out there with helmets on, beat each other's brains out, and they're getting nothing. It's crazy.
Yeah. And
but
now,
it's over with, and now we have to figure out how to manage.
Well, right. You turned on the fire hose. So, like, I don't know. Every jersey they sell that has a kid's number on it, like, I doubt it's automatic that they're getting money on that. They probably got to go do a deal.
Well, that was the original Ed O'Bannon
deal,
right? The Ed O'Bannon deal was you were using my likeness. That's Nate. By the way, my wife asked me at the bar. We were out at the bar last Friday night. We were at Cooper's. And the reason we were at Cooper's North is because the game was in Brazil and I wasn't given Peacock.
Right.
I wasn't giving them chickens. So we were at the bar, and my wife's like, NIL, what does that stand for? And she was about to Google it. And I'm like, not interested in learning.
Yeah, right.
And she's like, name, image, likeness. And I'm like, yeah, Ed O'Bannon, you know, like this is about them making even more money off of you on a video game years later. But I mean, there was really, it was an unending pit of being able to make money if you're state, if you're Alabama, right? Literally.
Well, and I just like, well, the day you turn that spigot on, I mean, if I buy a jersey with the backup center's number on it, because he's my cousin, like, does he get $1? Does he get $5? Or does he get nothing because he doesn't have somebody who went to the school and got them to sign a contract that says, if you do this, this is what I get? And the school might say, well, screw you. We're not doing that. We just won't put your number.
Well,
in
school,
the,
you
know,
say
in
you
the,
get an education, room and board.
Yeah. So I have no idea. Like, that's just, it's so foreign. And you think about it. I mean, there's, yeah, I don't know. There's,
well, the
so
unintended
many kids
consequences
and so many
are,
and
of
that
anything
stuff.
That is a paradigm shift, right? Like, literally,
right.
The unintended
Correct.
Consequences
Correct.
are unpredictable. You know, it's
correct.
Like a hurricane. Bill Cole is here. He's Cole Roofing. I don't know how we got into this because I was going to talk Ravens with you. We were going to talk about my Eric DaCosta letter. We were going to talk about the tech service coming back and all the cool stuff because it's brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Which card would you like? What's on your mind right now? The debate? I mean, we have all sorts of things going on here. The Ravens losing, Lamar not practicing, running the ball 15 times. Everybody on the Orioles is hurt. They can't hit the ball. Pitching's been better. But, I mean, this is the these are the good times, you know?
30 seconds-ish on the Ravens. It felt like Lamar was faster. They kept telling me about all the weight he's lost, and he looked spryer. So that's encouraging till he gets hurt, right? Because I'm sure he put the weight on to protect him. So, you know, some part of me, probably the one that likes to wear the purple glasses, says that was like a preview of the AFC Championship game. And, you know, that was just for, now we're going to have to play it in Kansas City instead of Baltimore. And I really think that those two teams are going to just run roughshod through everybody all season, and nobody's really going to put up much of a fight. That's obviously a very optimistic way to interpret that game, because I don't think that ever happens in the NFL. But barring injuries, which seems to be always the case in the NFL, like, that Kansas City team looks dangerous. Like, they need to have some injuries. We need to not have some injuries. I'd like to see the O-line kind of figure out what they're doing, but I don't know. I'm excited. I think they'll be productive. I think they'll win a lot of games.
Nine and a half to make you laugh, you know, this week. So they better win this. And that's what I said with Dallas.
Sure.
Dallas, Buffalo, and Cincinnati coming up, tough games. They need to figure the offensive line out. I don't think there's any. And with the Orioles, it's not about figuring things. Well, they're going to have to figure things out, but it really is waiting on this cavalry of all these injured players to come back and all at the same time, 3 weeks, and all be productive and all have timing together. I don't know. It's a tall ask for the Orioles right now, I think, and how you feel about them, but they're certainly. It's October. It's baseball. Anything can happen. I mean, look at Suarez the other night.
Yeah, I think the Orioles, there's All you can ask for is baseball fans just like get hot at the right time, you know, put it all together, put the pieces together, and then just go do something magical. I mean, I remember just watching the Rangers last year. Like, that was a buzzsaw. Like we were a really good team and we got destroyed. We just ran into the buzzsaw. So yeah, you know, I think they are a team built around statistics. So it's always going to come back to the mean, right? And the question is, are you below the mean going into the playoffs, which means that they're going to accelerate and do better to bring their mean back up to get to the average, or have they been overachieving and things will start to tail off and get to the average at the end?
See, like, I think, you know, you're, if I were a scientist, I'd say you got the wrong sample here, because the team in May is not the team that's been out there lately. So, there's video evidence of Rutschman taking a pitch on June 27th. He's been hit like a buck 50 since then, injured, and playing. Everybody else is injured. We don't have to tell you about Urias and Mateo. You just go down the list of all the guys that were a part of this. Even if you thought Urias, Mateo, how important are they? Westberg was very important. And you think, the bullpen, Webb, Colom, they're just relief pitchers. Oh, well, then there's Grayson Rodriguez. And then all the other starters, Bradish, Means, go through the list of the guys that have had injuries. It's kind of astonishing. I mean, when you think of Eflin and Burns and Suarez being their hope, and none of them were on the team when the Ravens got eliminated by the Chiefs last time they played. They literally weren't with the program. And the guys that were really good on the team in April, May, and June, they need to be better. Rutschman, Henderson, Santander, okay. Cows are fine. But they need to hit the ball, because they're going to have to score 6-8 runs a game in October to win. I believe that.
Baseball's such a long season. Those scientists, right? They figure out how this is supposed to go, and then it's just, are you going to catch lightning in a bottle at the end or not? And if you do, then it gets pretty exciting.
Well, so Kate Povich is starting a game, and Kimbrel can't pitch, and Rutschman can't hit the ball, and Holiday's up, and he shouldn't be. I mean, it's just a lot of things about this that Mike Elias and Brandon Hyde wouldn't have wanted for the team in June. You know,
but sports,
it wasn't the plan,
right?
You know,
I understand, but sports stories are always about someone playing way over their head, someone even that was great, but then did something that no one had ever seen before, or is unsustainable, or overachieving in some way. You know, you find some guy in the bullpen who magically pitches like, you know, 14 innings to finish out the season over the course of 3 or 4 weeks without giving up a hit. You know, like, so you just find that stuff, and that's when the magic happens, I think.
All right, Bill Cole's here, Cole Roofing, Gordy Energy. One of the reasons you sponsor, we're going to do the tech service, talk about that next week, because people will have text out by then. The election. This is all I'm going to say to you, because you're kind of fiercely independent. So when I talk to you, like, I really don't know who you vote for. I'm skeptical one way or another. I'm like, well, he wouldn't really vote for Trump because he's too smart for that. And I'm like, well, but his politics aren't really where, on the Democrat. So, but you get two teams. You don't get to vote for Ross Perot. You know what I mean? Or RFK Jr. lunatic. Debate aside, I saw a really interesting observation. This has nothing to do with Trump's dementia or his misogyny or his racist way. None of that. This is just, it was Kenny Mayne that tweeted this. And I thought, in the middle of the night, it was one of the first things I saw in the middle of the night. I don't know. Maybe it's because Pearl Jam's in town, Kenny Mayne and I reconnect, because I could get him on the show. He said, I should pull it up, but I think I can give it one-to-one. He had 3 points about Republicans. I can understand if you were in on the con and you've been a part of the con the whole time that you're voting for Trump. I can understand if you're a racist and that you think like a racist, and we all know people like that. We pretend we don't, but we do. That you're going to vote for Trump because he appeals to that. And I can see if you're a rich Republican or think you're a rich Republican, which is really funny, that you're getting a tax break, that you're going to get a break. So if you're in any of that group and you identify and you say, I'm going to vote for Trump, but who are the undecided people now? You know, his point was, who's undecided? Like, if you're on the Trump thing and whatever that thing appeals to, you're in. You know who you're voting for, no matter what stupid ish he said about your eating your dogs and cats. It doesn't matter what he does. We've learned that sanity doesn't matter when it comes to. But the part of it is, if you're undecided, what have you been watching the last 8 years? Like, that's the part that's amazing to me. It's what this exercise of a debate, who they're really trying to influence. Where is the middle? Where's the undecided? Because I that blows me away. If you're sitting here September 11th after seeing all you've seen and you don't know who you're voting for yet.
So to clarify the point you're making, which I think everything you said, I agree with. 95% of the population of our country either hate him, so are going to vote for her, hate her, so they're going to vote for him, love her, so they're going to vote for her, or love him, so they're going to vote for him. That's 95% of the people in this country, I think. That last
keeping
five,
in mind that only 26% of us will vote, or whatever that number, a crazy small number, maybe 18%. I don't know,
fair
but
enough.
It's a crazy number.
No.
Yes.
Good, great point. 95% of the 26%. Correct. You are correct. Because 75% of us don't even know what's going on, which is maybe even the more staggering discussion to have. So, one of the things that is stuck in the back of my head that I believe puts me in that 5% camp is I find it, for all of the concerns, disgust, anger about January 6th and, you know, the inability of our country to like do this properly as the leader of democracy on the globe, right? To completely circumvent the democratic process, tell Joe to quit, handpick the replacement. That's like mega un-American. You know what I mean? Like, that's not how we do this. Like, in emergencies, somebody dies, whatever. Sure, we have process that we've all agreed to and we've, you know, lived through and it works. But for a group of people to take the electoral process away from Americans who would have voted in a primary for a candidate and just handpick a replacement, I don't even get to the point where I'm trying to decide between the two of them. I'm trying to figure out how that goes down and that's okay. Because that seems really foreign to me. And it just doesn't seem like, and I'm not even, I can even segregate my brain and say, well, forget that they did it because they think she had a better chance to win. Or, you know what I mean? Like, take all the malicious reasons why they might do it. Take that out. Just the fact that they completely circumvented the process, that's what baffles me. You know what I mean? Like, how do we allow that to happen? And that's okay. And everyone seems to have moved past that point. So I'm trying to figure out why I'm still hung up on that point. Because everyone else, you know, there was a debate last night because they're trying to decide, right? Everybody needs to decide.
I think you're making a very valid point, by the way, as a Democrat, that I would have liked to have been in into a caucus. But there's a point for me, as a human and as a citizen, in witnessing what I've witnessed, all that I care about is that he doesn't win. So it doesn't matter to
but
me
you can't,
because.
But that's not our country. That's not democracy. We are always.
He's
in this
not
country,
about democracy. So that's what I'm voting against.
I'm voting against the
guy who's kissing Putin's ass and a guy that lies more than Chad Steele's lied to me. So in a general sense, the amount. He's not qualified. He's not smart. He's not decent. He has no integrity. I can go on and on and on and on. So whatever she is and whatever they are, put them walls into it, it becomes more appealing. So that therefore, but I would agree with you that she'll earn the presidency when she beats him in 8 weeks. And you'll say, well, she's the president now, but she didn't have the She didn't play the regular season, is what you're saying, right? This is putting
right.
Alabama
sure.
into that. That's yeah. literally what. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
and I'm not wrong in saying that. And I'm going to vote for her 100 times over. And I'm going to hope that everybody in the audience votes for her because I've seen his act. I saw what happened on the.
I know.
I saw what happened on the steps of the Capitol. There should be nobody that should vote for that guy. Like literally,
we're
a scumbag.
But we're not talking about you. That isn't what you asked me. You've been very outspoken. We know where you sit. You're part of the 95%. We got it, right? You're asking me, that last group of people who are going to swing this thing one way or another, what are the things that they are still not sure about after all of the stuff they've seen? And, you know,
been the vice president and has been a heartbeat away. And if all the Republicans had their way and they declared Joe brain dead, she'd be the president anyway. You know what I mean? So there is a point where, like, she's sort of next in line as far as the party is concerned. And they all got together out in Chicago. And one thing they've done that the Republicans had a harder time doing and Trump did on his own was just uniting his own thing. Whatever that thing is that allows you to win any election, uniting that part of it, the Democrats have at least had, dare I say, their shit together to some degree because it feels like she's going to win. So from that perspective, if it's just about my team winning, you know, Lord knows, we watch that in sports all the time, doing anything. We just sat here and did a half an hour on giving money to 17-year-old kids to come play at State U. Whatever wins, that's America. And that was the deal with Trump. He didn't care if it was legitimate or not. Get on the phone to Georgia. I need to win because the power is the whole gig. I've learned that in sports too. The power is the gig. And, you know, I'm not saying it's right or it's good for America one way or another, but she wasn't that. You could sell it to me that she's next in line and she would have won anyway based on what we're seeing anyway and based on the fact there's no other Democrat standing up saying, I should have had a chance in the primary and I would have been better or more equipped to do this. It's a party. They put money together. It's not, it's a two-party system that unto itself is effed up. You know, you don't have a two-party system when you're hiring a CEO. Anybody does. You have an open system for all the candidates. I would agree with you. That's what makes America great.
I agree that at no point in the process, no matter which team you root for, if you don't believe that they will do anything to win, you are fooling yourself, right? Yes, they both will do anything. It's the whole conversation around the legitimacy of elections. Like, I snicker at that entire conversation because if you don't think that they've all been messing with it, both sides, for as long as you can remember, then you haven't read any of this country's history.
Yeah, I learned a lot in my dalliance with marrying a couple of years ago about how everything you told me as my consigliere about the money flow into the politics and how Kathy Pugh happened, it's wretched. It's right.
Yes. And so I'm
telling me as a political candidate, I had to go around and suck everybody off for $10,000 to give all the money to BAL and Jay-Z to run ads for me. I mean, come on, man. You know, come
and
on.
That's,
I own,
and that's
I own
the
an
part...
FCC lesson. That's the thing. I get more give Kamala money and give Trump money. And I'm like, where's the money going? To Fox News, to the Sinclair family, or to the Sun for Sinclair's family, or to Jay-Z for Hearst, or like it's just going to grease other media companies. It's gross. I mean, our political. I told you I was in Canada a year and a half ago seeing Pearl Jam, and the Canadian system is they put these banners up in the middle of Ottawa everywhere, and that's the advertising. The advertising is we put stuff out on the streets. And that's how we vote for people in Canada. And I thought, we kind of screwed it all up around here. No wonder we're a mess.
Yeah, no, I mean, that, and that's the part of the conversation that everybody knows about and is somewhat transparent, you know, and we've tried to build transparency around it. We know that if that's how messy that part is, imagine all the stuff that we don't know about and that we can't see and the whole, you know, pay for play and quid pro quo and all that wonderful crap. I think that the balance of that 5% of people are in a camp that are literally just trying to decide who's going to make their life better for the next 5 years.
I figure if you're at that point, you're really having a really hard time disseminating truth. You're one of the people that the Chinese or the Russians can screw with on social media. If you're at this point where you don't know what he is and what the other side's at least trying to do and has been trying to do the last 4 years in regard to international relations, which if you're in that 5%, I saw a thing the other day where, you know, they brought the old world map out and they asked people to point to China and they point to, you know, Africa. And like, so like anybody understanding our place and sort of the sanctity of peace on our turf, especially as we sit here on the morning of 9/11 and discuss this, right?
Right.
There is a point where we watched that guy for 4 years, pointed hurricanes that didn't exist, try to sell off Greenland. I mean, like, just the lucidity of what was said on Tuesday night should make anybody that's in that 5% look at this and say, that guy's nuts, even if you haven't tuned in the last 4 years and haven't seen him get shot or whatever happened in Pennsylvania.
But those are the things that get people out of the 5%. And we're talking, there's still this 5%. And my issue with those 5% is how they choose to interpret. Like, there are major wars going on now, and there weren't then. And like, I'm not interested, nor do I really believe that Trump had anything to do with preventing that stuff from happening, or that he claims, like, with me, none of that goes on, right? Like, I'm not buying into that. But my problem is, for the 5% of undecided people, how do you determine what part of that is real? Because the real part, what is reality that we do know, is that there is a major conflict in the Middle East and there's a major conflict in Russia, Ukraine. And that didn't happen when Trump was in office. So I can't dispute that simple way of looking at it.
Also, no longer in Afghanistan. I want to point that out too. Our own war that we got out of. So.
Yeah, but that's another one that we don't even know what the real way to perceive that is. Yes, agreed, 100%, we're out.
Oh, well, this is spin on both sides. Whose fault it is,
yeah,
you
right.
know, like,
sure.
Yeah. Bill Cole's here. He's Cole Roof. We're not going to sort it all out here, but we're going to have an election in 8 weeks. We're going to have a football game on Sunday.
The most important thing that was said was, in between trying to trash her energy policy or whether she's going to ban fracking or blah, blah, whatever, he said, solar. I love solar. That's the clip. Like, I don't care. Like, my job, and I implore people to think about it this way. One of them's going to win. I don't know which one. My only job as a CEO is to figure out how my business continues to survive with whoever wins, so that the 150 families that we help feed their kids every day have their jobs, because I want to have 200 families, right? So no matter which one of them knuckleheads wins, I got to figure out how to do business in that environment. That's my job.
Bill Cole, spoken like a true independent and, you know, fiercely independent, man. I got to get these segments should be sponsored by Mooseheads. Fiercely independent. Good Canadian company sponsored some American conversation. He's Bill Cole. You can find him at Cole Roofing. He's the sponsor of our WNST tech service. If you're on it, you'll know when you get it. So will our friends at 105.7. He's Bill. I'm Nestor. We're WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Non-denominational we are here. We are fiercely independent. We really are. I released my declaration of independence last week. So go read that out of Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.